This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I'm honored to welcome to the program former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. He joins us live on the line. Good afternoon, Governor.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I had pressed the wrong button. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. How are you, Coy?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for making some time for us. We really appreciate it. We know you're very busy. Let's just cut right to the chase, and I'll just ask you the first question. Governor Gilmore, are you a candidate for United States Senate from Virginia?
Well, that's a pretty direct question, isn't it?
Well, why waste time?
We haven't made any decision about running for the Senate yet. Instead, we're focusing our attention on the state Senate and House candidates this year. The first majorities in the history of Virginia for the Republicans came in while I was governor. I'd worked very hard together with the rest of the party to bring about those majorities, and I'd like to make sure that we focus on that this year during these legislative races. And then there'll still be time to consider a Senate candidacy or the governorship in 09.
And when might be an appropriate time when we would hear you? Would it be after the November 6th elections when you might come forward then and make some kind of an announcement whether you intend to do that or not?
Well, you know, later on this year, I would think would be the right time to make a decision on that. But we're not wedded to any time. I could make a decision to proceed or not proceed tomorrow. But it seems to me that the smart thing for us all to do is to focus on these General Assembly races and reelecting our delegates and senators.
And when is it that it's very soon now that the Republican Party of Virginia is to decide whether or not the nomination for their candidate, the Republican Party's candidate for this opening U.S. Senate seat when John Warner retires, they're going to have to decide here pretty soon whether it's going to be a primary or
a convention.
Convention, that's right.
We expect the State Central Committee to make that decision on October the 13th.
October the 13th. Do you have a preference for how you would like to see that decision go?
Well, you know, certainly by all reports that we've got, we think we would do well in either a primary or a convention. But there are, I think, are some legitimate reasons why the party might think that a convention makes more sense. We're going to have one anyway because we have to name delegates to our national convention and for the presidency. So, you know, the question is why separate out the Senate nomination? And then secondly, if, you know, a primary is going to be very expensive, and meanwhile, Mark Warner has sort of been receiving a coronation. So if we're going to offer a candidate against Mark Warner, we need to, you know, go to work to make sure that we have the finances to compete with him.
My guest is former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. We're honored to have him here on the program.
Right.
Whether you are the candidate or not for your party, why is it that you would like Virginian voters to vote for the Republican candidate, whoever that is, over Mark Warner? Why is Mark Warner not shouldn't be Virginia's choice then for this
seat?
And
you're talking about a Senate race now.
Correct.
Look, the answer, I think, is that we really want to focus not on some, you know, jousting match between one candidate or another candidate. We have a tendency now to personalize so much everything that is going on. And instead, I think we need to focus on issues. At some point, government's got to get back to the proper direction of the nation. And I think that if when you begin to think about government spending, the enormous commitments that are being run up on government spending, the high taxation that inevitably is going to follow and is already there in place, foreign policy issues which rely upon the strength of the nation, homeland security, the issues of sound education, I think the Republican Party tends to go in the right direction. If Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, and I suspect she may be, then the really question that people of Virginia have to ask is, do you really want to send another United States senator to Washington to support a Hillary Clinton program for the nation? And I think Virginians will decide they do not want to do that.
Governor Gilmore, let me ask you about you ran and were elected largely on your commitment to end the car tax.
Yes.
After you brought that forward, then the General Assembly sort of, they only went so far with it. And this certainly, we still have a little bit of a car tax. What are your thoughts on that? Is that something that you would like to see brought to some type of conclusion?
Oh, sure. Should have been done a long time ago. During my 4 years, we were able to get 70% knocked off. So when your listeners get their car tax bills every year, 70% of it is gone. And the other 30% still has to be paid. But the point, the real larger question is, you know, what is the proper policy at this point? And our goal here was to try to put some money back into the pockets of regular people. There was already a cap on the car tax of $20,000 worth of car value. So really just regular people and their cars were the ones that were getting the tax break, and they need it, particularly young people who are out there trying to, you know, operate a car, maybe get their first job, and all of a sudden they're stuck with great big fat tax bills. It's a matter of philosophy. Do you believe that more money needs to flow to government, or do you believe more money needs to flow to the working person's household around the kitchen table? And I always believe that we should try to help people.
My guest is Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia. Now, after you left the governor's mansion, you did quite a bit of work at the national level with the Gilmore Commission, with looking at terrorism here in America. What is it from all the things that you've seen, which, you know, papers and reports and studies that most of us have not seen? What is it you think that most of us don't get or don't understand about terrorism?
Well, you know, Coy, I was actually, speaking of bipartisanship, I guess, from time to time people talk about that, I was actually approached by the Bill Clinton administration and asked to chair the National Commission on Homeland Security for the United States government. And I did that. And your listeners, if they want to look at those reports, can look at them on the RAND Corporation webpage, RAND.org, and the search vehicle when it comes up, put in Gilmore Commission, and you can read the reports. And we did three reports while I was governor before the 9/11 attack and warned the United States that that a potential conventional attack was quite likely. And then, of course, after the 9/11 attack, and I was governor during that time, the commission was extended 2 more years. So I've devoted 5 years of my life to protecting the people of the United States and their homeland security, while at the same time preserving our civil freedoms simultaneously. What do I believe that we need to know? Number one, I think we need to prepare the people of the United States and have them involved as citizens and as citizens' organizations in homeland security. Number two, I think we have to have a partnership between federal, state, local, private sector, and the citizenry in order to prepare the country. Number three, if there is an attack, we shouldn't overreact. There isn't anybody that can bring down the Republic of the United States except ourselves. It would be a terrible tragedy, and we have to work very hard to protect the people of the United States, but you can't allow the terrorists to cause us to change as a people. We have to continue our nobility, our liberty, our freedom, and our self-confidence, and that's, I think, the heart of the matter.
Former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore is my guest, talked about widely as a possible candidate for United States Senate, or even governor, again, of Virginia in 2009. Now, I'm sure that's something that you haven't crossed off your list as a possibility.
We haven't crossed it off. We appreciate the encouragement that we're receiving from everybody on all of this, and we certainly want to do what's right for the people of Virginia. Whenever I've run, I've tried to offer something I think will be of value to the public, and I've kept my word, which I think has value, by the way. I think people think that politicians very frequently will just say or do anything to get elected, and then they just turn around and ignore the things they said they would do. I'm not like that. I've tried to keep my word, and I think that has meaning within the entire overall political process.
Governor Gilmore, could you, for perhaps a minute or two, talk to the issue of serving in the United States military? Because I know when you graduated from the University of Virginia, you volunteered to serve in the U.S. military during the Vietnam era. And could you talk about that a little bit? Because it seems to be something that's not as encouraged in this day and age.
Well, I think that that being a veteran is a matter of great pride. And I know that that a lot of people aren't serving in the military these days, but I was very proud to be able to do that. I joined the United States Army right out of UVA. I was trained as a soldier. I was trained as an intelligence agent. I was trained in the German language in California and then sent to West Germany as a counterintelligence agent. And I think there's a great deal of pride of knowing that you represent your country in a foreign lands and that you stand for the safety and freedom of your country. I think there's value in country, even in today's world, and certainly when you serve in the military, you know that you're subject at any time to a terrible tragedy someplace, but that's what you do. You serve your country.
We have a big election coming up here on November 6th now, a lot of local elections, but all seats in the Virginia General Assembly, 40 in the Senate, 100 in the House, are up for grabs, most of them not contested, but a lot of them are very close races. What is it you would like to see Virginia voters keep in mind as we move closer to November 6th?
You know, I think the Republican Party, as an institution, has to state with great clarity the difference between us and the Democrats. and not blur all this up. I think that the public is entitled to a choice, and they're entitled to be able to choose what direction that they want the state to go. And I think we have to control spending. I think that politicians have a tendency to spend taxpayers' money in order to get themselves reelected. I think we, as a matter of philosophy, we have to restrain that and thereby create the opportunities for controlling taxes, or even if we decide within the giant sums of money that are going to the state that we wanted to give some benefit and tax cuts back to the working people of the state, we should be prepared to do that. I think we have to address the transportation issues, the education issues. As I'm sure your listeners know, I went to the University of Virginia, so did Roxanne, so did my son Jay, and my son Ashton is there now. He's a second-year man at UVA as we speak. So we have a real commitment to the university and to all the to education generally across the Commonwealth of Virginia. These are the fundamental issues. How do you make the life of the people of Virginia freer, better, safer, and happier? And that's why you run for public office. Otherwise, you may as well just stay in private life.
Jim Gilmore, former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, it's been an honor to talk to you, and I appreciate your time, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Thank you, Coy. I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for the chance to talk to your listeners.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. Let's take a break at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather. We're back with local realtor Roger Wozniak and his take on the destruction of the Woolen Mills Dam. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
If everything was free, I'd go to work.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.